Hi, I'd like to welcome you to our show. I'm your host, Pragmatic. We're talking about life as a child of God and all things related to His kingdom. Thanks for joining us. If you're a new listener to the show, you can find articles and books and other resources on my website, www.pragmatic.com. Now let's jump into this week's show. Hey there, this is Pragmatic. Thank you for joining me today. This is going to be a political update on the FBI and the DOJ based on a Twitter thread by Sundance, at The Last Refuge on Twitter, and Andrew McCarthy. So again, this is a simulcast. It is going out on Periscope, and it is also being broadcast on Facebook. It's been a while since I've done an update on current events in politics. The last one I did, I think, was a dream that I had a couple weeks ago, where the question that I had was, are the white hats about to make arrests? And I had a dream where I saw in this dream a lot of big criminal type people who were going to be arrested all at once. And it seemed to me that this is the time, this is the season where those arrests are going to be. We're going to start seeing that happen. So it's interesting that yesterday the Department of Justice put out a letter that is it's not a summary exactly, but it's a notice that it involves the Office of Inspector General and some investigations that have been going on. And this guy that I follow, his blog, and I follow him on Twitter, goes by Sundance. On Twitter, he is The Last Refuge 2. He blogs on Conservative Treehouse. He did an incredibly insightful thread on Twitter last night where he kind of unpacks what has been going on in the Department of Justice, what has been going on inside the FBI. And I'm going to do I'm just going to read through his tweets and give some commentary on his observations. And I'm also going to talk a little bit about Robert Mueller and his investigation this morning. Not a whole lot, because it's all tied together. But I think it's difficult at this point to know exactly what to make of Robert Mueller's investigation. For me, it's too early to tell. There are people who have very strong opinions on both sides about Robert Mueller and his investigation. Some people are absolutely convinced Mueller is a bad guy, or as we say, a black hat. That he is out to take down Trump, that he is out to take down Trump's administration, that he cannot be trusted, that he is an absolute nefarious player. And there are other people who believe that Mueller may actually be a white hat. He may actually be a good guy, that he may be working with Trump undercover, and that he may actually be taking down the deep state. And you can make all kinds of arguments on both sides. Look, last week I've seen Washington Post, Newsweek, and several other fairly liberal publications. They're beginning to criticize Mueller. They're criticizing his integrity. They're criticizing his objectivity. Now you have to ask yourself, if Mueller is going to take down Trump, is going to expose and prosecute Trump's team, why is the liberal media suddenly attacking him? All right, you have to ask that. There's this question about one of his lead investigators who was taken off the case. Now, this was back in the summer. And we just found out about it a couple days ago. People are saying, okay, why did Mueller allow this Strozek guy on his team, his investigative team, knowing that he is very close with Andrew McCabe? He's worked in counterintelligence. He's been essentially McCabe's right-hand man. That he is obviously anti-Trump. Why would Mueller allow him on the team knowing that about him? Well, the question you could also ask is, why did he remove him in the middle of summer from the team when he found out that there were these messages going on between him and his girlfriend? So if you believe that Mueller is a bad guy, is a black hat, you can have all kinds of evidence that can suggest that Mueller is a bad guy. There is an equal amount of evidence. Some of it is circumstantial. that Mueller is secretly a white hat and that he's working with Trump. I think it's too early to tell what is going on with all of this. I just don't think that you can make an absolute definitive case that Mueller is either a bad guy or a good guy. At this point in the conversation, for me, it's too early to tell. And Andrew McCarthy has had some really insightful articles. Look, Andrew McCarthy is a former prosecutor for the Department of Justice. If anyone knows how the Department of Justice works and how prosecution works and what is going on with Mueller from an outsider's perspective, McCarthy has probably the most objective and the most useful insights of anyone that I've seen so far. Today's article by McCarthy essentially says that the Russian collusion narrative is dead, that there is no way that Mueller's team now can hope to prove or even suggest Russian collusion during the election. That narrative is done, and we've known that for a long time, that theory, that idea never held water, and now it really doesn't hold water. So McCarthy's next question is, if Mueller's investigation is going to continue, then what is it focused on? Now, I would preface this question with a couple of observations. I'm not convinced that Mueller's investigation is going anywhere, because Sarah Huckabee Sanders told the press about a month ago, they're expecting Mueller's investigation is going to be wrapping up very soon. Trump said a couple of weeks ago that he expects that Mueller's investigation will be done before the end of the year. And he was very confident when he said that. Now, Mueller and his team have indictments for Manafort, and they got Flynn to plea to lying to the FBI charge. Relatively minor things. It's my suspicion at this point, Mueller is probably going to wrap up his investigation and hit the road and be done. I doubt that his investigation is going to go much farther. It's just my gut. My gut instinct says that it's not going to go any further, that he's done. I don't think he's interested in trying to build a case against Trump, because the only thing left to build a case against Trump, and this is what McCarthy argues in his article, is obstruction of justice that leads to impeachment. And he bases that on looking at the charges that Flynn pled to. McCarthy basically says, if you're going to build a case for a serious crime, as a prosecutor, you want your witnesses to plead to the highest possible charge, and that's the charge that you're trying to prove. So if they were trying to get the Trump team on espionage, for example, they would get Flynn to plead to espionage, not a lesser charge. They get him to plead guilty to espionage with the promise that he might get off on a life sentence if he cooperated with the investigation. But they didn't do that. Flynn did not plead to an espionage charge or the Logan Act or anything else. Flynn basically admitted that he lied to the FBI, which is a very, very minor charge. He'll probably serve no jail time. So McCarthy argues, well, where does that take us? That takes the entire investigation for Mueller in the direction of a process crime. It's not actually about collusion. It's not about espionage. It's about process crimes, lying to investigators. So McCarthy argues, and remember, he's a former federal prosecutor. He argues that if Mueller's team is going to take this forward, the most logical direction they would take it in is another process crime, which would be obstruction of justice, because obstruction of justice is a process crime. You're involved in an investigation and you try to interfere with the successful completion of the investigation. That's a process crime. So McCarthy is saying, if they charge Flynn with a process crime, if they're going to charge anybody else, it's going to be another process crime, probably obstruction of justice. Now, McCarthy goes on to say that if the investigation goes further, what they'll try to do is they'll try to prove that Trump interfered with Comey's investigation, that Trump fired Comey, and that's an obstruction of justice. The problem is that Trump is absolutely dead to rights constitutionally in every other way. has the right to fire Mueller, Comey, Sessions, anybody he wants to in the FBI and DOJ, because the FBI and the Department of Justice are under the supervision of the executive branch, and Trump can fire anybody with or without cause. So both Alan Dershowitz and McCarthy agree that the most likely direction this investigation is going to go, if it continues, is that they'll try to accuse Trump of obstruction of justice. And both of them have said that is going to be very difficult to prove. The case of prosecuting that is going to be very, very hard. So as far as the Mueller investigation goes, either they're going to try to accuse Trump of obstruction and then possibly try to impeach him based on that charge, or it's just going to go away. And I don't know exactly where that part of the investigation is going to go. Like I said, I don't have enough information yet. I don't have enough information to decide whether Mueller is a black hat or a white hat yet. I just don't think there's enough information. So I'm staying neutral. And the cool thing about being neutral on these issues is I'm not locked into a view of this where I'm trying to find things to prove my preconceived assumptions. I'm just looking at the news, I'm looking at the events, and I'm trying to evaluate objectively where this is leading. I'm not trying to prove a certain point because I haven't taken a side on the Mueller issue. If you have taken a side and you just think Mueller's a black hat, he's a bad guy, and that's all there is to it, then everything that you read is going to have to try to prove that Mueller is a bad guy. I've seen too much that suggests that maybe he's not. So I don't know. I'm playing Switzerland on the Mueller thing. Now, the next thing I would like to talk about is Sessions. Now, a lot of people who believe that Mueller is a bad guy believe that Sessions is a bad guy, that Jeff Sessions is asleep, that Jeff Sessions is worthless, that he should be fired, that he is not helping Trump. Okay. Many of us have been told that by political pundits. And I'm going to be quite honest with you. Those political pundits have an agenda, and you need to be careful when you listen to people who have an agenda. Look, I respect very highly people like Jay Sekulow and Tom Fitton with ACLJ and Judicial Watch. They do great work, but those guys have an agenda. Look, they have a platform, and they rely on financial support from donors. You know, Alex Jones. They have advertisers. They have a need for their platform to be supported financially by people like us. And when a political commentator has a financial interest in your emotional reaction to their news, they have a reason to twist or spin or flavor the news a little bit to get an emotional reaction out of you so that you will tune in next time and you will support them. And if they make you angry and if they make you incensed, that is going to get you to tune in again. You're going to continue to support them. Now, like I said, I love the work that these guys do, but you have to understand they have a financial incentive for what they're doing. If they report news in such a way that it causes outrage in you, you're going to tune in and you're going to support them. So I would just say be careful of anyone that you listen to who has a financial gain in reporting the news, because they're going to flavor it in such a way as to continue to earn your support. And I was following a political pundit who had a very specific view on everything. And that person was relying heavily on financial support. And I now realize that that person, they had a skewed a view of all this stuff. And they had an agenda. They reported things a certain way because it created angst and it created anger and fear. And it drove people to keep coming back. I think it's not to our advantage to become emotionally invested in a message. Because the more emotionally invested you get in a message, the less objective you can be. And you need to look at news reporting objectively. You need to sit back and say, okay, set aside my biases, my preconceived ideas. I'm going to read this and I'm going to try to understand what it means outside of my preconceived ideas and emotions. So moving on to Sessions. There are a lot of people who think that Jeff Sessions is absolutely useless. He's not doing anything. I was one of those people. But in the last month or two, I have changed my mind. I think Sessions is absolutely on Trump's side. I think that Sessions is going to shock the heck out of everybody. All the pundits, political pundits, are going to have egg on their face. And the reason I say that is I've been watching what's coming out of the Department of Justice in the last 2 months. He is definitely showing signals that things are changing. Or not that things are changing, but things have been happening for a long time that we have not been aware of. Because when there's an investigation going on inside the DOJ, they're not supposed to leak or confirm any investigations that are going on. You're not supposed to hear from the Department of Justice. So people are angry. Why isn't this being investigated? Why isn't that being investigated? How come Hillary's not locked up? Why isn't there anything happening? People are angry and mad because news reporters and political pundits are telling you nothing is happening and you believe them. Well, how do you know they're right? If the Department of Justice can't even confirm that an investigation is going on, what makes you think they're not investigating these people? How do you know? You're not going to know unless the Department of Justice tells you what they're investigating. And they don't do that, except in very rare cases. And I'm going to talk about some of those rare cases right now. So, for those of you who don't know, the Office of Inspector General in the Department of Justice has had the FBI leadership under investigation for a long time, for most of this year. Comey and Andrew McCabe, number one and number two at the FBI until Comey was fired, they have been under investigation by the Office of Inspector General for some pretty serious crimes, potential crimes. And so have a lot of other top people in the FBI that you probably don't know about. And we have recently found out who these people are and what they're being investigated for. That was what Sundance's thread was about on Twitter last night. Just to give you some information, I'm going to read to you a letter from the DOJ. This was from the DOJ Office of Inspector General. This letter was issued January 12th of this year. DOJ Inspector General Mike Horowitz announced today that in response to requests from numerous chairmen and ranking members of congressional oversight committees, various organizations, and members of the public, the Office of Inspector General will initiate review of allegations regarding certain actions by Department of Justice and FBI in advance of the 2016 election. Cognizant of the scope of the OIG's jurisdiction under Section 8 of the Inspector General Act, the review will examine the following issues. These are the issues. There's five of them. Allegations that the department or FBI policies or procedures were not followed in connection with or in the actions leading up to or related to the FBI director's public announcement on July 5th, 2016, that the director's letter to Congress on October 28th and November 6th, 2016, that certain underlying investigative decisions were based on improper considerations. What is he talking about? He's talking about Comey's decision to not prosecute Hillary Clinton with respect to the email investigation. So that is under review and has been under review ever since January. Now, people will say that Trump had no reason to fire Comey. Well, do you understand that Comey was entered in the disciplinary process? He was being investigated by the Office of Inspector General for 3 or 4 months prior to being fired. Comey was under investigation. All right. Number two, allegations that the FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe should have been recused from participating in certain investigative matters. Andrew McCabe, before he became deputy director of the FBI, he was director of counterintelligence. And McCabe was involved in directing the Hillary email investigation and a lot of other investigations. And he and his wife took money from the Clintons. And there is this question: should McCabe have recused himself from those investigations? He didn't. So McCabe has been under investigation by the Office of Inspector General for a long time. Were you aware of that? Well, you may have become aware of that when McCabe was demoted last week. A story that was broken by Thomas Paine in True Pundit. Okay. Now, People are angry. Well, why was McCabe only demoted? He should have been fired. Well, here's my answer. I think Christopher Wray is probably better at running the FBI than I am. If he feels that the best thing that in the interest of the FBI was to demote the deputy director and chain him to a desk so he can't do anything, then I trust that Chris Wray knows what he's doing. And I'm not going to be angry because McCabe wasn't fired. McCabe is going to have his day in court. That's coming up soon. And we're going to get into that. Number three, allegations that the department's assistant attorney general for legislative affairs improperly disclosed non-public information to the Clinton campaign and or should have recused from participating in certain matters. This is talking about Peter Kadzik. Peter Kadzik, assistant attorney general for legislative affairs, very good friends with John Podesta. Kadzik is in the WikiLeaks emails. I think there are 20 different emails with Kadzik back and forth with Podesta. He was leaking information to Podesta, to the Clintons about the investigation. So there is question. Now, Peter Kadzik is under investigation by the Office of Inspector General and has been since January. Did you know that? Well, you do now. Allegations that the department and FBI employees improperly disclosed non-public information. This is other people in the FBI leaking non-public, i.e. classified information, to the press. All these leaks that Trump was so upset about through his administration. FBI has been leaking like crazy. All those people who have been leaking are under investigation. Allegations that decisions regarding the timing of the FBI's release of certain Freedoms of Information documents on October 30th and November 1st, 2016, and the use of a Twitter account to publicize the same were influenced by improper considerations. This is interesting. There's an FBI account on Twitter. It's called FBI Vault. And they release information periodically whenever they want to. They'll go silent for like a year and then boom, they release a bunch of information. Well, that is under investigation. Why was that information released? And you can go to the Twitter timeline and see the stuff that was released by them. The review will not substitute for the Office of Inspector General's judgment or the judgments made by the FBI or the department regarding the substantive merits of investigative or prosecutive decisions. Finally, if circumstances warrant, the Office of Inspector General will consider other issues that may arise during the course of the review. So, the Office of Inspector General has had their hands full this year. They've been investigating a lot of high-level people in the FBI, and one of them that was not mentioned in this report is the general counsel for the FBI. And according to Sarah Carter, who broke this story in July on Circa News, general counsel for the FBI has also been under criminal investigation. Have you been aware of that? That puts a whole lot of people at the top of the FBI under criminal investigation. When you listen to the political pundits and the news reporters saying nothing is being done, you have to look at the fact that most of this stuff you don't find out about. You have to go to the Office of Inspector General website and look up the documents to find out what's going on. That's what I had to do. I had to go to their website and find these articles, or these letters, and print them out. What is the mainstream media talking about? Nothing. They're talking about Russia, Russia, Russia. And they're totally missing the fact that all these high-level people in the FBI are being investigated. All right, so let's go to Sundance's thread from last night. And somebody was nice enough to put this on a thread reader, so it's easier to read it. Sundance starts out with a document. Now, I'm going to read another document to you. This is the DOJ, Office of Inspector General, message was posted yesterday, and I'm going to read this to you. And this is, as Sundance noticed, the statement today by the DOJ Office of Inspector General is exceptionally noteworthy. Here's why it's noteworthy. For immediate release, December 2nd, 2017, Office of the Department of Justice, Office of Inspector General, released the following statement in response to inquiries today. The January 2017 statement issued by the Department of Justice Office of Inspector General announcing its review of allegations regarding various actions of the Department of Justice and the FBI in advance of the 2016 election, stated that the OIG review would, among other things, consider whether certain underlying investigative decisions were based on improper considerations and politicizing the FBI, and that we would also include issues that might arise during the course of the review. OIG has been reviewing allegations involving communications between certain individuals and will report its findings regarding those allegations promptly upon completion of the review of them. So this is a letter from the Office of Inspector General basically saying that we have been reviewing for the last 11 months all of these things, and we are going to make a timely announcement about the findings of our review. Now, why would they put this out unless their investigation was pretty much over? So we are working on the assumption that the investigation is over and they're about to make their announcement of their findings. I think in the next week or two, we are going to get the findings from the Office of Inspector General and their investigation. And that explains why the president has been on Twitter tweeting about Comey and the FBI and all the stuff that he's been tweeting about the last couple of days. Because Trump saw this. He knows that the OIG is done with their investigation and some heads are about to roll. So let's go to Sundance's thread. So number one on his thread was this letter. Number two, what makes the statement noteworthy is that the Inspector General investigators don't generally talk when they're in the midst of an investigation. The fact that the DOJ Inspector General released a statement generally implies that underlying investigation is coming to a close. They are most likely in the writing reports of the finding phase. Number four, many people probably were not even aware the Office of Inspector General was investigating the FBI. That's like a lot of people. They're like, well, I didn't know that was going on. Five, those who were aware likely forgot the investigation was happening because it's been going on for almost 11 months, and it hasn't been reported by the mainstream media. The investigation began in January as an outcome of concern, and he goes over the letter that I just read. That's his sixth and seventh messages in the tweets. As you can see from the originating memorandum, the Inspector General probe has a wide berth to look at how the internal politically corrupting influences might be shaping the outcomes within FBI investigations. When the letter says improper considerations, they're talking about politicization of the FBI, of making decisions based on political preferences and ideology. That's what they're talking about. Okay, so the DOJ Inspector General anticipated their investigation lasting approximately a year. We're almost at the end of a year, hence the likelihood that they're assembling a final report. Based on the exceptional amount of controversial FBI decisions in the past several years, there's every reason to believe that the Inspector General report will lay bare the politicization at the highest levels of the FBI. The anticipated Inspector General report reality is exactly the reason we're seeing this. And he tweets out a James Comey tweet. Now, James Comey just created a Twitter account like a couple of weeks ago. And he's been tweeting these bizarre pictures. One of them is, and I'm going to read this tweet. I want the American people to know that this truth. The FBI is honest. The FBI is strong. And the FBI is and always will be independent. Me, June 8th, 2017. So Comey is tweeting about the integrity and the impartiality and the independence of the FBI. On the same day that the Office of Inspector General releases a report saying that they're about ready to wrap up their investigation. On the same day that Donald Trump starts tweeting about the FBI. So there's all these high-level people that are trying to push out a narrative. 11, no doubt the highest FBI politicized leadership that remains within the FBI is sending coffee talk to Comey and others, including their media friends, who are no longer inside. Number 12, those internal forces, the black hats, if you will, in the FBI, are likely the primary leakers from within the FBI over the past few years. Also, these people are under investigation. They're leaking to the media types like the New York Times, Washington Post, and to a lesser extent, CNN. Which explains this. He has a link to an article that explains that Mueller's Russia probe Mueller had basically fired one of his leaders of investigation, Strozek, who was sending these anti-Trump text messages to his girlfriend. So, in essence, the generally ignored, years-long Inspector General report of the top tier of the FBI is coming to a close, and those insiders are leaking to get out ahead of the content of that report. So the leakers inside the FBI who have been under investigation, who are likely to be implicated, are trying to leak information to the press to get the news cycle, to get the narrative in their favor before the Inspector General's report comes out. That's what Sundance is kind of on. He's working on that angle. Remember, the entire construct of the IG report was based on identifying if politics were driving FBI outcomes. Naturally, there are going to be politicians, beneficiaries of the politicization, who will join in the effort to undercut the IG's findings in advance. So what he's saying here is there are politicians who have something at stake in getting this narrative moving in the right direction before the Inspector General's report comes out, which is why Dianne Feinstein went on the Sunday shows this last weekend and was talking that Trump is mentally insane, he's not competent, I'm concerned about him. We're building a good case for obstruction of justice against the president. These people have a vested interest in getting this narrative moving in the direction because they know this Inspector General report's coming out and they want to get ahead on the news cycle. It's likely that multiple top FBI officials and, more importantly, their behavior being identified in this probe is very high. So he's got a picture of McCabe, Obama, Hillary, Comey, Holder, Rosenstein, Mueller, and these are the players whose reputations and careers are at risk in this investigation. There's also great trepidation. Now, this is where Sundance takes a little bit of a turn. What we've heard so far is kind of a presentation of some backstory about what's going on. Number 18, there's a turn. There is also great trepidation with the announcement of the Inspector General's findings, and this is where there's a huge problem that we need to be concerned about. If you publicly showcase how the FBI has been politicized for the benefit of one political ideology and create two sets of justice, it's also very dangerous for the chief law enforcement agency of the country. Outing corrupt FBI officials is not an endeavor to be taken lightly. In actuality, it can undermine the entire system of the way law and order is perceived. So if the Inspector General's report comes out and basically says all the top-level brass at the FBI were all politicizing their investigative findings, they were covering up Hillary's crimes, they were covering up Obama crimes, they were all complicit, what does that do to the reputation of the FBI in the mind of American citizens? It totally destroys our confidence in the FBI. That is a concern that a number of FBI agents have expressed over the last couple of years in various forums. They know that there's corruption in the FBI. They know that there's, you know, they've politicized the department, but they're afraid that if they bring out the corruption, it's going to collapse the department, destroy the department's integrity, and no one will take them seriously. And there are other problems too. So Sundance goes on, number 20. Think about how you would approach identifying corruption amid the FBI, yet still retain public confidence within the institution. Initially, it might be easy to say, who cares, just do it. However, there are big ramifications if it's not done correctly, with brutal honesty, with full disclosure, and public sunlight to explain the reasoning therein. Number 22. In advance of revealing such damaging information, the IG would need absolute impenetrable examples to hold up as evidence. If you're going to reveal information that is going to destroy the reputation of the FBI, you have to have absolutely unquestionable, rock-solid examples of evidence. Because if you don't, and even if you do, the press corps is going to descend on you. If you start outing and exposing a liberal bias and a liberal agenda inside the FBI, the liberal press corps is going to come to their defense and attack you like crazy. And how do you defend yourself against that attack, that onslaught? Because you know darn well, as soon as you start indicting people in the FBI for criminal activity, WAPO, New York Times, CNN, they're going to come down in droves and they're going to attack this as a politicized witch hunt because they want to save their people. In part because one half of the ideological enterprise, including the media, will seek to tear down any report not favorable to their tribe. Number 23. Meanwhile, if history serves as an accurate precursor for what follows, the leadership of the other adverse political party will seek to blame Trump for eroding the trust, faith, and integrity of the FBI. So what happens? Schumer and Nancy Pelosi go on the offensive, and they start accusing Trump of trying to erode public confidence in the FBI. That it wasn't bad enough that Trump had to fire Comey. Now he's going to prosecute a bunch of good federal agents in the FBI just because he has an axe to grind against the FBI. And they're going to further politicize the process and blame Trump for trying to destroy the reputation of the FBI. We're getting into some very serious consequences here. If this Inspector General report comes out and implicates all of these top-level people, there are going to be severe political consequences. Number 24. It certainly appears the pending IG report on the FBI is what lies behind much of the current activity stirring amid the swamp. The top tier of the FBI, those who will be outed as black hats, have nothing to lose. This is a very salient point to think about. If you are a corrupt official, a corrupt attorney, investigator, cop, whatever, inside the FBI, and you know the hammer is coming down, what do you do? What do you do if you're one of the bad guys and you know that you and your buddies and your supervisors are about to be prosecuted? Well, if you're in that situation, you don't have anything to lose because the whole house of cards is going to collapse. So there's a very difficult tension that's going on here. This is where Sundance takes another turn, and he's now looking at people inside the department. What do you do if you're inside the FBI? What do you do if you're a seasoned veteran of the FBI? And what do you do if you're corrupt and you see the corruption is going to be exposed? This FBI zero-sum outlook explains why the FBI top-tier officials have refused to comply with congressional requests for information. So now he's turning to why is, you know, Devin Nunes with the House Intelligence Committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, the Senate Judiciary Committee, they've been requesting all this information from the FBI. And the FBI and the DOJ have not been coming forth with the information requested. And Nunes has been sort of suggesting that, well, we're just going to hold these people in contempt if they don't give us the information. Well, there are a couple of explanations as to why that information may not be coming forward. One of them is found in a letter that the Department of Justice wrote, which says that there is ongoing investigation. And if there is an ongoing investigation, you don't necessarily want to give out information that could potentially compromise, mislead, be misconstrued, or possibly get it to the press what is going on with the investigation. Typically, if there's information that is involved in an ongoing investigation, they're not going to turn that information over to any of the Senate or House Intelligence Committees. So the fact that there are ongoing investigations may be one explanation as to why DOJ and FBI are not turning over information. But there's another explanation, and that is number 26 on Sundance's thread. Why should FBI officials help Congress discover information that shows those same FBI officials are corrupt? The easiest way to avoid oversight is non-compliance with the request from the compliance officers. So if you know that you and your bosses are dirty and you and your friends are dirty, you just tell Congress, hey, take a hike. We're not giving you the information. We got nothing to lose. What are you going to do? Hold us in contempt? Eric Holder was held in contempt of Congress. Nothing happened. No money, no fine, no jail time. Contempt by Congress is a very low penalty for non-compliance. Number 27. If you are a corrupt FBI official inside an agency that has a lot of top-tier corrupt FBI officials, and the only risk is political, and your tribe is going to attack your opponent based purely on ideological alignment, who cares if Congress holds you in contempt? So what he's saying is, if you're a corrupt official in the FBI, and you know most of the top-tier officials in the FBI are corrupt, and Congress is threatening to hold you in contempt if you don't give them information, and you know that the press is going to go bonkers supporting you, why do you care if you're going to get held in contempt? What does it matter? The house of cards is collapsing anyway. Number 29, the black hat FBI officials have been hunting white hat leakers who are adverse to their ideological goals. And he's got a link here to an article concerning the Loretta Lynch, Bill Clinton tarmac meeting here in Phoenix, and the fact that the FBI was not all that concerned about the meeting. They were concerned when information about that meeting got leaked out to True Pundit. Thomas Paine got the information about that meeting. He published it, and the FBI people went after the leakers. They didn't want that information getting out, and they started to go after, find out who that leaker was, because they wanted them punished. So the black hats are going after the white hats. Meanwhile, President Trump appears fully aware that the Inspector General's report on the FBI is coming soon to the sunlight. He too gets to hear about the leaks. The black hats leak to the mainstream media. The white hats leak to other white hats because they're trying to help each other. People often think of Trump in narrow terms and forget that he worked his way up to being an apex predator in the Manhattan real estate market by fine-tuning his instincts. He can smell a drop of blood in the ocean. His instincts are why he seems to have the ability to see around corners. Trump, sort of like a lawyer, never tweets something unless that he doesn't already know the answer to. He baits the media into attacking him. And this is a very critical point that a lot of people don't understand. Trump trolls the media for a purpose. He trolls the media because he wants their attention on him, not on Mattis, not on Tillerson, not on Ryan Zinke. Trump wants the attention on him so his guys can do what they need to do. Trump wants the criticism on him so that his people can do what they need to do and not worry about the press criticizing them. That is why Trump trolls the media. And it becomes kind of important in this particular issue. So Sundance here includes three tweets, which were, I think, tweeted yesterday. Tainted? No. Very dishonest. FBI agent's role in Clinton probe now under review. Led Clinton email probe. Clinton money going to wife of another FBI agent in charge. So he's talking about McAuliffe, the money that went to Andrew McCabe's wife. People have accused McCabe of receiving a bribe to let Hillary off on the email probe. Another tweet. After years of Comey with the phony and dishonest Clinton investigation and more, running the FBI, its reputation is in tatters. Worst in history, but fear not, we will bring it back to greatness. And then he tweets again. Report, anti-Trump FBI agent led Clinton email probe. Now it all starts to make sense. So Trump goes after the reputation of the FBI and says it's in tatters because he knows the Inspector General's report is coming out and he knows that report is going to support everything he's been tweeting for the last 3 or 4 months. He knows it. He knows ahead of time. And Eric Holder, Sally Yates, two former attorney generals, and James Comey all attacked Trump last night on that tweet. They all had their little rebuttals because they know, as well as Trump does, that that Inspector General report is coming out and it is not going to be favorable for any of them. So they're trying to get ahead of the news cycle and they're trying to make Trump look like a bad guy, but Trump knows what's in that report. Guarantee it. Number 33. This Inspector General investigation is almost finished. No doubt Trump has a great instinct on the contents therein, hence the tweet bait. He's setting the stage for the grand reveal by coaxing and goading the mainstream media to chase him. He wants the media attacks on him. for his criticism of the politicized FBI and the intelligence leadership, because ultimately Trump knows the FBI and the intelligence community have been weaponized by politics. We all know this. The media will chase him, critics will blast him, and all of a sudden, whammo, there's a year-long Inspector General report on a political FBI leadership team, which proves everything that he's been critical of. And with the full attention of the public on the dynamic, the issue of faith in the FBI is less consequential than the visible issue of Trump versus the swamp. In essence, Trump protects the white hats in the FBI by taking the heat on himself. Trump, by drawing the heat, by drawing the criticism to himself, is trying to protect the guys in the FBI from criticism. He's trying to take the heat for what's going on, and he's trying to minimize the damage to the credibility of the FBI. Because the white hats who are left, at the end of the day, they're going to have to run the department after this is all over. Under Chris Wray and whoever he promotes as a deputy, they're going to have to rebuild that department. And Trump doesn't want the criticism and the public eye on the department. He wants it on himself. He'll take the heat for it. He's a big guy. He can definitely take the heat for it. So that is the end of Sundance's thread. And I just found it incredibly insightful. I think that things are going to work out well for the president. I do not think that he will be found guilty of obstruction of justice. If Congress tries to impeach him, it'll be the biggest mistake they ever made. We'll find out what's happening, what's going on, but look for that Inspector General report to come out soon. And I expect that it'll vindicate everything that Trump's been tweeting about for the last year or two. The black hats are being exposed. Just, you know, keep your ear to the ground. Keep looking at reliable sources of information. I think following unbiased sources of information is probably best. People who can look at either side of the argument and take either point, those people tend to be the most reliable, in my opinion. When it comes to things like this, Department of Justice, I like Andrew McCarthy. I like Sundance, The Last Refuge. I follow Imperator Rex. There are a bunch of other people I like following. There's another guy named Name Redacted. His name is in parentheses, Name Redacted. He's good to follow. The Rising Serpent is good. There's a lot of people that are good on Twitter to follow. If you're interested in ideas and observations and theories about what's going on with the deep state, those are some good people to follow. So, all right, y'all. I love you all. You're amazing. You're cool. Thank you for spending this time with me. I hope this has been insightful and helpful. I'm going to let you go. I will catch you on the next broadcast.
Well, folks, that is our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Thanks for dropping by. If you're new to the podcast and you haven't been to my website, you might drop by and check out the articles I have there. If you have any questions or comments about the show, you can contact me at admin@prayingmedic.com. That's admin@prayingmedic.com. You can also contact me on Facebook and Twitter. I'd like to thank you again for dropping by. I hope you enjoyed the show.